right, let's go along and take some more calls. The lines are full. Hello? Hello?
Bob?
Yes, sir.
Yes. I am so excited about your program. I've been waiting all week for it. Would you believe, and this has been my vacation, so
ah.
I've been hoping my vacation would hurry up. But anyway, my question is, first of all, I want to take a little disagreement with a comment that was made that there is not good short-waving during the day. I found that particularly between 6 in the morning and 9 in the morning, you can do some successful short-waving, particularly you can pick up Australia. And also one interesting thing, you can pick up the Australian Broadcast Commission broadcast out of Perth. That's broadcast to the outback of Australia. And this is not a international broadcast. This is a domestic broadcast. And this seems you can pick it up. It's a skip or something that you can pick up in the Midwestern part of the United States.
Sure.
And that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I agree there. I said dawn and dusk are the best times, and Australia does come in around dawn. Yeah, for some reason, Radio Australia has a pipeline into North America, and every morning they come through like a ton of bricks. And you can hear the domestic. Many countries use shortwave for domestic broadcasting if they have a large outback, like he said. We can hear that Soviet transmitter that we heard underneath Prague a few minutes ago. That was an example of a domestic service on shortwave. Canada broadcasts domestically on shortwave. So some of the best things you can hear on shortwave are relays, or shortwave transmissions of domestic services, because it's not politicized. It's good, homey material.
One other comment, too. Another time I found, I haven't of late, but I found that a few years ago, when my hours were different, I was home at 3 in the afternoon, that I could pick up Japan and Israel. But I haven't had an opportunity to pick those up of late, and I was wondering if you're still able to pick them up around that time.
Israel still does very well. Japan has always been a problem.
Mm-hmm.
They're good in the spring and the fall, but because Japan has to go over the auroral regions, the polar regions, to get to North America, they have all sorts of problems. They're thinking of putting in a relay in Portugal, and I'm recommending that they put a relay down in South America somewhere. But Israel does very well because they don't have to deal with any polar transmission paths.
Incidentally, can come in here with a comment or a question. It's my understanding from what you told me earlier, Kim, that around the world, countries are erecting transmitters that are much larger than, say, our domestic 50,000-watt transmitters that we're used to here.
Oh, sure. In fact, medium wave, AM band, they're up to 1 million watts and more.
1 million?
In the Arab, and down in Mexico, they're up to 150, 250,000 watts, I think. There's a 500,000-watt transmitter in the Caribbean.
A lot of 300,000-watt transmitters shortwave around the world.
250,000 watts is the medium, is the mean.
Doesn't this make shortwave broadcasting a rather expensive operation for some countries?
Yes, but it is, and it's hard to compete against the big stations. But a lot of, like Uganda and stations like that, have been able to afford, for some reason, transmitters.
Mm-hmm. All right, sir.
Bob, I've got a couple of other questions.
One other
question now. With Albania now having a falling out with Peking, what's the status of Peking's super powerful transmitter in Albania?
Yeah,
that's a biggie.
You bet. We'll hear Albania coming up in just next, actually. Radio Tirana, Albania has been relaying Radio Peking up until, the first instances of the falling out came last fall or this spring, and they still kept relaying Radio Peking, so we shortwave listeners knew that it wasn't that serious. And then final blows came a few weeks ago, and now Radio Peking is no longer being heard via Albania. I guess it's now up to the Albanians to do their own maintenance on those Chinese-built transmitters, and we'll see how they do. But those transmitters are still on the air.
One final thing that I hope, first of all, I hope you've got a tape of Radio Havana, Cuba.
Yeah,
they are ultra fantastic as far as propaganda goes.
Interesting rhetoric, sure. Now their Spanish service is loose and a lot of music, and people in Latin America really enjoy it.
Yeah, I tell you that that's one thing that if you can take their propaganda, their music is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You can have their music on. They generally run, I think, about a half hour or 45 minutes, and they run about 20 minutes of music and 20 minutes of hardcore propaganda.
Right, yeah. In the Spanish service, they'll go for a half an hour or so with music, and they jump all over the VOA and the ratings sometimes.
Would you like to hear Radio Albania and then get back to you?
Sure, I'd like...
Okay, put you on hold, be right back. Let's do this Radio Albania, which comes from a city that most of us have never heard of.
Tirana, T-I-R-A-N-A.
And it's a city of about 250,000,
yeah,
something like that.
Small. The country is only 2 million or thereabouts.
Yeah, very small, very strange, in a sense.
Strange country.
Strange country. Radio Albania coming up.
Music there. I played, I didn't broadcast any of the talk from Albania because it's not worth listening to,
mm-hmm.
but the two different types of music. You heard the raspy a cappella at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That's from the Tosk ethnic group of Albania in the south of Albania. And
mm-hmm.
then the second was geg music, geg, G-H-E-G, from the northern part.
Mm-hmm.
Musicologists would really enjoy shortwave because you can do that kind of comparative study. Again, Albania's redeeming feature is its music, and I know a lot of Albanians, and they're wonderful people. It's just too bad that Radio Tirana can't.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get back to this interesting gentleman on line three before we take line four. Hello?
Okay, yes, sir. You were talking about Albania. Usually, if you try to get a QSL card from Albania, boy, you better write down that propaganda verbatim.
Might explain what a QSL card is.
Sure, a QSL card is kind of a reward. You write to the radio station saying, "Dear sirs, I heard you at such and such a time, on such and such a frequency, date, etc. Tell them how well their signal is coming in. That's what they're interested in knowing. And then you prove that you heard the station by including a few items of news that mention the music that they broadcast, just to tell them,
and
let
the
them know that you heard them.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll send you back a QSL card, which is a little, usually a postcard type thing, and it's the in the DX listening hobby, the barometer of your DXing machismo is how many of those countries you can get QSL cards from, and 200 is about the top limit.
Okay, I've got one final question.
Sure.
There was one time, getting back to my daytime DXing, first of all, I'd like to make one comment. Americans can find, if they DX during the day, can find out just exactly what this country puts out as far as its propaganda to the rest of the world. This is when most of the VOA operations are going on during the day.
Right, the day is prime time for Europe and Africa.
Right. But one other, I picked up this station only one time. It was called Radio Peace and Progress. Mm-hmm. Could you tell me something about this station?
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up. From the Soviet Union, there's not only Radio Moscow, there's also Radio Kiev, broadcasting to North American English, Vilnius, Erevan from Armenia, Tashkent. Radio Peace and Progress is supposedly it's broadcast in several languages, including English. Supposedly not operated by the foreign policy machinery of the Soviet Union, but by groups and organizations in the
supposedly the voice of the people
of
and
the
supposedly
people.
The other side.
Well, not really the other side, but they can say harsher things, less diplomatic things about the West and get away with it because they say, well, we in the foreign ministry have nothing to do with this. You know, that's the people's organization radio. It's a cop-out. We use that with Radio Free Europe, too, because we claim no editorial control over Radio Free Europe. I'll talk about that later.
Okay. I really enjoyed your program, and I'm just going to stay up and listen to midnight. I can think of one more question, too. Why is the Voice of Germany gone all of a sudden to more German language broadcasts and cut out the amount of English they're doing?
Yeah, the Deutsche Welle, the Voice of Germany, is a rather sad example of poor judgment and poor research, and for some reason they think that there are a lot of people in North America who speak German. There are a few, but not that many, not enough to warrant 8 hours of German to North America and 20 minutes a day of English to another broadcast in the morning. I just don't think they have their heads together as far as research. They're drowned in their bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm. And my wife's got a kind of a comment on that. She says they're broadcasting all the Nazi war criminals in South America.
Yeah, that could be.
All right, sir. I've got to go
along.
Thank you very much. Let's make sure that we have this gentleman waiting on line for you. There, sir.
Mr. Allard.
Yes, been a long wait.
Yes, I've waited a long time to speak to you, Mr. Elliott. I'm from the Soviet Union many years ago, and I cannot give my name on the air, for I still have relatives there who would maybe be harmed. But I think would like to know how many people here in the Twin Cities could hear Radio Moscow. How many sets to Mr. Elliott think we have here that could pick up the propaganda from Moscow?
Okay. Al, I think that there are, nationwide, I would say that maybe, what do we get, about 500,000 people listen regularly, 18 million sets, you know, in radio sets in the United States capable of receiving shortwave.
18 million shortwave
yeah,
sets
and
that can pick it up, yeah.
I think the Twin Cities is average, so... I would say extrapolate that for the population of the Twin Cities, and you'll get that. So
you get what about how many people?
Give about 2% or 1% of the population listens to shortwave on a regular basis.
Yeah. So in other words, your listening audience over here in terms of numbers would be rather small.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in consideration, to be so small audience here, would it be possible for some station like WWTC to pick up Radio Moscow, rebroadcast, and then have a true squad.
I'll tell you, sir, the idea just doesn't turn me on at all.
No.
In first place, Radio Moscow, like Radio Peking and any of the other communist countries, very, very dull listening. Very, very dull.
It can be dull. It can be interesting sometimes, but usually it's dull. And reception is not always great. It goes for months sometimes without, you can't even hear Radio Moscow because the propagation is just not with them.
Maybe you could pick a relay up from Voice America, from BBC, for something should be done to make sure that people here know the lies that Radio Moscow is telling about America, and they should know the bad things that they say, and that we should answer them, so that they do not get away with their propaganda.
I agree, and I've got something in the works myself as far as a kind of compilation of foreign broadcasts, and I think we could get that on domestic... The Canadians do that. So, something like that could be worked out, maybe.
All right, sir. We've got to move along.
Help.
Thank you very much for calling. Let's do this. All right. We're about 9 minutes away from 10 o'clock, and we now have a couple of lines available at 333-2363. Kim, what are we about to hear?
I think it's Radio Havana. Let's hope so. And that's an interesting station, as the gentleman said
and
before.
And how long will this run?
1 minute, 33 seconds.
Radio Havana.
Opening.
This is Radio Havana, Cuba.
Broadcasting from Cuba, free territory of America.
A summary of today's broadcast.
First comes the national and international news,
followed by an editorial. Today commenting on an anti-Soviet propaganda campaign concerning an allegedly high level of radiation in the U.S. Embassy in Moscow.
Then spotlight on Latin America focuses on Uruguay.
From the land of music, features popular Cuban tunes we hope you will like.
Cuban culture, arts, and life in the revolution presents a program about the Cuban National Septet and its founder, Ignacio Pinheiro.
Latin American Songs brings you beautiful music of our America.
And Cuba, the 19th year, tells you about the achievements of the Cuban public health system.
This is our schedule for today, Saturday, April 9th, 1977, the year of institutionalization.
That was the year of institutionalization. Every year, I think the year before that was the year of the, 18th anniversary of the floating of the grandma at the barracks or something like that. They every year has a certain name. That, by the way, comes from the collection of Tom Gavaris, a friend of mine in Wayzata, who's one of the who's Minneapolis' supreme DX listening person. He knows his stuff, and so some of the tapes come from him.
All right, let's move ahead and take this gentleman waiting on line five. Hello.
Yes, Bob.
Yes, sir.
It's kind of an interesting program tonight. Something very unusual, right up my alley, so to speak. I remember when the first shortwave propaganda station went on the air. That was from Brownbrook, New Jersey. And I saw a picture just recently in a radio magazine when they were tearing the building down and junked the radio equipment. That first station, according to this article, was 1933. Now, it seems that that station was on the air a long time before that propaganda thing got going, but of course RCA's overseas station is still there at Brownbrook. I suppose your guest has heard Brownbrook many times. I'd like to remark about this BBC station in England. They're radiating a megawatt right now, and that station went on the air in June of this past year, of this year, this current year, with a megawatt. So you can hear them on 16 meters and 29 meters. Any time of the day you want, daylight or not.
Yeah, well, the million watts they generally manage to get through.
And also you can hear PCJ from the Netherlands. You can hear them any time of the day you want to. Makes no difference what time it is. But, of course, PBC, they change frequency about four times during the 24 hours. Also, a number of other stations change frequency quite often, depending entirely upon their beaming, and also depending entirely upon what countries they are going to cover on that particular frequency. So they change frequency quite a few times a day.
Are you talking about broadcast stations?
No, I'm talking about shortwave.
Shortwave broadcast?
Yep, shortwave broadcast.
That's what I was referring to. Yeah, you use the call letters like PCJ, which, you know, they're not using that very much anymore in international broadcasting.
That's the most famous station in the world, PCJ.
Yeah, well, is that that's the call letters for the Dutch station in Oldenhout?
That's right. That's probably the most, outside of PBC, PCJ, now I understand, is going to go on the air January 1st with a megawatt. And they're also going to monitor the Lorraine A, B, and C.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
And also PBC. The reason they went to a megawatt is on account of the Lorraine A, B, and C.
Okay.
I noticed, too, on PBC, they use diversity. Their monitoring uses diversity receivers. They have about 10 heads on the receiver, and 10 antennas feeding each separate head. And the best signal is utilized. In other words, they have a computer machine that will separate all the signals and the best one can be used. That's a number of places in the United States use the same system. But those broadcasts that you got on those tapes, they're real good. I was also going to ask you, have you ever listened to XER?
That's the medium wave station in Mexico?
Yeah.
I've heard them. Is that 900 kilohertz?
That's
XCW.
Well, let's see now. Yeah, that will have to be 900 because they're on one of those United States protected
clear
frequencies.
Yeah, there's some interesting listening on our AM medium wave band. We might talk about that a little bit later.
But, of course, XCR is a station, you know, that moved beyond the 17-mile limit. They're up beyond the 17-mile limit now.
You mean 17 miles south of the border or out in...
Oh, no, they're 17 miles beyond out the ocean.
Are they in a ship?
No, they're in a sunken caisson.
Sunken caisson.
Hmm.
That's new to me.
XER, they used to be in the United States, as you know. It was owned by Dr. John Brinkley.
Brinkley, yes, right.
And Dr. J. Brinkley died, and he left over, $1,000 million, which is $1 billion.
Right. Well, I didn't know that they were out in the ocean. There's no reason why they have to be. I mean, they can just be on Mexican land territory, too.
Well, they were told to leave Mexico.
Oh, really?
Just like they were told to leave the United States.
Then they're a pirate station?
To a point, you might consider it that.
Yeah,
that's why they had to go beyond the 17-mile limit.
Well, that's news to me.
I used to be an engineer at XER.
Yeah.
And you've got a real good program put together there. Real good, real interesting. Some of the things you've mentioned, I myself have never really realized.
We must be doing something right because the lines are totally full.
Yes,
totally
right.
Full.
And I might mention, too, on these receivers, do you know that this Yesu has brought out a model 7000?
Yeah, that's their digital model, I guess. You can
that's right.
And to 1 kilohertz?
They claim specifications beyond, oh boy, way out in right field. Yeah. Absolutely tremendous specifications.
Yeah. All right, sir. Nice to hear from you again. A little reminder as to what you're talking about. Those receivers, plus the Panasonics and others, can be seen, I guess, at almost any time during the week, with the exception of Sunday, at PAL Electronics at 3452 Fremont Avenue North. Might as well mention a friendly sponsor or two. Thank you very much for calling, and a good night. That theme is coming up in the background. Kim Elliott, myself, Bob Allard, here with 2 more hours to go of TC Talk Line, Saturday night edition, all about the world of shortwave radio. Much, much more to come. Degrees here in the Twin Cities at last report. Our wind from the east at 10 miles per hour. Barometer steady, 29.90, with light rain showers reported in the Twin Cities. Again, 73 degrees, and it'll get down to about 6. Welcome back, Twin Cities. Points elsewhere. Welcome back. Kim Elliott is here. My name is Bob Allard. We're going into the next full hour of TC Talk Line, Saturday night edition. And we have some open lines. Our lines were full for the first hour and a half or so. We're now open for some of those lines at 333-2363. Talking about the world of shortwave radio. Incidentally, not so incidentally, PAL Electronics of North Minneapolis hopes that you're enjoying tonight's show on shortwave radio. If you'd like to learn more about what we're talking about and listening to, about ham radio or how to listen to police, fire, aircraft frequencies, you see the folks at PAL Electronics, 3452 Fremont Avenue North. The real professionals will be happy to give you excellent advice on everything from receivers to the best antenna installation, including those unique indoor antennas and the vertical whips. PAL Electronics, a very friendly place where you can ask the questions and get the answers. And you'll find lots of new and used ham equipment at PAL Electronics as well. And books and magazines give you those important frequencies for what you want to hear. And I guarantee that you'll enjoy your visit to PAL Electronics, 3452 Fremont Avenue North, whatever your interest in radio might be. Back to Kim Elliott. And by the way, it was kind of nice to see all of our lines full for a while. Now I think I'll see if we can get them refilled and move the calls along and get back to our samples of shortwave broadcasting. Can we move out of the communist countries and get into things a little more a little more familiar? In a
right, sense? Exactly what we're going to do. Next tape will be from Holland.
Mm-hmm.
The Dutch have been the pioneers, one of the pioneers of international broadcasting, starting back in the 20s. Started broadcasting to their various imperial possessions around the world, and had some rather benevolent programming. A guy named Eddie Starts with the Happy Station program started the concept of entertainment-type programming in shortwave, and ever since then, Radio Nederland has been one of the more popular stations among shortwave listeners around the world.
All right, how long will this cut run?
This will go a little bit longer, 2 minutes, 23 seconds.
2 minutes and 23 seconds of Radio Nederland, and we might say, too, that our lines, some of which are open for you at 333-2363.
This is Radio Nederland's newsline. In this edition, Neville Gray presents reports on Pope Paul's funeral in Rome, recent developments in Chinese foreign policy, a grant from the World Council of Churches to the Rhodesian Patriotic Front, and efforts to unite South African liberation movements. But first, here is the news. At least 100,000 people crowded the massive St. Peter's Square in Rome when the solemn funeral rites were held for Pope Paul VI. The Requiem. Hello, this is Harry Kliphuis with Lesson 20 in Dutch by Radio, our new language course devised and written by Peter Breitenstein. Our first job will be to look at page 44 and check our work on the exercise in lesson 19, which was about the forms of five irregular verbs. So if you'd please produce whatever it is that you wrote it out on, I'll proceed to write out the sentences in our completed form. First, the verb krijgen. Wat heb je gekregen voor je verjaardag? Van mijn zuster.
You're tuned to Radio Nederland, the Dutch World Broadcasting System in Hilversum, Holland. Well, friends, it's Sunday again and time for the Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Tom Meyer.
Welcome once again to Happy Station. Happy Station is your Sunday family show of smiles across the miles, and we're on the air every Sunday of the year with this show.
The reception there is deceptively good. Radio Nederland has a relay station in Bonaire, the Netherlands Antilles, and that signal comes from Holland to Bonaire via satellite, so everything is nice and easily audible for the North American.
All right, let's move ahead and take some of those waiting calls. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I have a question. You've been talking about different radios, the Yaesu and receivers and that. And I have a radio. It's an older RCA Victor. And it's a five-band radio. It's a 12-tuber. And it's a 49-meter band, 31-meter band, 25-meter band, and 19-meter band. Would that be sufficient for the average listener to pick up the shortwave to be happy, or is there a lot more out there than that?
Yeah, it depends on what condition the radio is in, how sensitive it is. When that radio was built, there weren't so many radio stations on the air, and they weren't using such high powers. Now that they are, they're crowded in together, there's a lot of interference. You need a radio that's selective. That means it's able to discriminate such a way that it can get rid of a signal on an adjacent frequency, so you're only hearing the signal on the frequency you want. The bands you mentioned, 49, 31, 25, and 19, those are four of the biggies, but it misses a couple of them. It misses 16 meters, which is 17 megahertz. These are two different ways of telling what frequency you're on. 13 meters, and it misses some of the tropical bands. So, you know, it's all right. Depends on what you hear on it.
Well, the reason I was asking, it does need work, probably what they'd call a tune-up or whatever.
Yeah. How old is the radio, sir?
1938 is the model number.
Hey, you got a goodie there.
And
made by RCA.
Yeah, it's got the electric tuning where you push a button and the motor changes channel.
Let's see, what's this? Kim just gave me I guess it's a short commercial, but we might as well put it in. This is a business card from a unique business that I've never heard of before, and I've got to look them up. Steve's Vintage Radio, here in Minneapolis, over on West Lake Street, 707. It says simply, antique radios bought, sold, and repaired. Intriguing business card. It shows a picture of a rather attractive young lady with a set of earphones on, and she's dressed in about 1922 style, and she's listening to a 1920-something radio.
Yeah, radios like that now are sometimes hard to repair if you can't find the tubes for them, etc. He might, at Steve's Vintage Radio, he might be able to fix it, he might not. It depends on how much time, if he's interested in it. You might find a benevolent amateur somewhere or a TV repairman who is into that type of thing, but they're sometimes hard to fix, and if you don't have the know-how, sometimes it's a lot cheaper and a lot easier on your nerves just to get one of the nicer receivers that are cheaper.
Yeah, well, when I picked up this radio, I also got four sheets of paper. It's got the, I don't know what they call
the schematic?
It. Block drawing, schematic drawing, and alignment procedures. Yeah, would that help?
That would help. That would help quite a bit. Now, the if right now is whether they can find the tubes to replace that.
I know
some resourceful people who have transistorized those old receivers.
Yeah. I wouldn't think that it would be at all that impossible, sir, to get that 1938 RCA in pretty good working order.
If you can find a good person. Of course, it's not going to give you a direct readout. The new cheap receivers now are better than anything they made in the 30s.
Yeah, I realize that, but I was wondering, for the money...
Well, it's really not money. You see, sir, I don't know how old you are, but you see, Kim is a young fellow. He just doesn't realize that sometimes you fall in love with a radio. You know, it's like an older wife. You're certainly not going to get rid of her just because the vintage is there.
That is true. I really enjoy this radio. My boy enjoys it. We've listened to it. It's like I say, a couple of the bands don't pick up that good.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a lot more that the radio could do if it was tuned in line, I guess they call it.
Mm-hmm.
But
you might also, what kind of antenna are you using?
I've just got a piece of wire strung up to the top of the house, about 30 foot above the house.
That should do it.
That should do it. Maybe a good ground, too, as well.
Well, okay, I'll let you go.
All right,
good luck. I was kind of curious about that.
Thank you very much, sir. Do appreciate that call.
Okay.
And more shortwave samples coming up momentarily right after this. All right, we're back. Let's see who is on line one, so at least we know we're in communication with him. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir. How do you like the show so far tonight?
Outstanding. Like I told you before, it was right up my alley.
Ah, great. We've got Radio Deutsche Welle coming along. That's West Germany. Do you want to listen to it for it? And then we'll be right back to you, okay?
No problem. I like it.
Okay, stand by. And this, Kim Hutter, you say, is West Germany?
West Germany, Cologne Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Cologne. And they're relayed via the Caribbean also.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of programming?
Boring.
Boring. Here we go.
This is Radio Deutsche Welle, the voice of Germany, in Cologne, the Federal Republic of Germany. Now stay tuned for a 20-minute program designed for North America. First, the news. A nine-story building was almost completely flattened today in the worst terrorist bombing ever in the Lebanese capital. Latest reports say at least 87 people were killed, and the number of injured is feared to be about as high. The building here is headquarters of both the radical pro-Iran... Hello, friends everywhere. This is Radio Deutsche Welle, the voice of Germany in Cologne. And it's Sunday Magazine for North America, and Peter Wernick as your studio host. On our agenda today, the psychological problems of long-term unemployment in this country, and an interview with Colonel Bill Peach on the occasion of the NATO Reserve Officers meeting in Bonn. But first, cultural news from Berlin, this time on an extremely unusual exhibition. Jerry Garber reports. Bill Vargin, artist, art dealer, and ambassador for environmental quality, is a West Berlin landmark. A resident of the city for the past 20 years, he's been involved in happenings and actions aimed at preserving...
Now, that's it.
Well, you're right. West German radio is dull. It's about an upgrade with Havana.
They broadcast more hours per week than the BBC.
They have
a tremendous physical plant. They've got transmitters in Rwanda and Africa and the Caribbean and a few other... those are their relays. It's a tremendous waste. Their programming is just abysmal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too bad.
All right, let's get back to the gentleman on line one. Hello, sir.
Yes?
All right, go ahead. We're on the air.
Well, I called to answer that man, I believe he said he was from Russia, about how many sets there were in... Twin City area. According to my wife, I have 63 of them in my house.
No kidding.
And none of them are printed circuit or transistor.
Now, slow down a bit. Do you seriously have 63 radio receivers? 63?
Yep.
I was going to say, what kind of a radio nut are you? But then again, I'm a radio
nut. I'm pathological about it.
Yeah, I'm pathological too, but not to 63.
63 of them. In fact, when
18
I...
18 or 20, I can see. That's a rational number of a small apartment.
No, my wife counted them out.
63, no kidding.
Yep.
Why?
Because I've like your guest there, I became addicted to it when I was young.
Uh-huh.
And I had more at one time.
What type of radios are they? Describe them.
I've got Helicrafters, RCAs. I've got the old farm style that run off batteries.
Yeah.
Got several of those. And radio trophs, travelers, mostly Zeniths, because I believe Zenith was a really fine one.
Do you listen to them?
I was working on a Zenith Transoceanic when I picked up your program.
Okay.
I was building a power supply. It's battery operated.
How many of those 63 do you listen to, though?
Pardon?
How many of the 63 radios do you listen to?
I like them. I just like it. I restore them.
Yeah.
In fact, that Steve's, he has tubes for that 12-tuber.
Right. I know people like
he
you.
He has brand new ones. He doesn't have used one. He has brand new ones. Yeah. He has an outstanding setup.
So I don't think that the gentleman with a 38 model RCA is going to have that degree of difficulty, all things equal, perhaps.
He can get brand new ones from Vintage Radio.
Well, I'll tell you what, sir, you interest me a great deal, because I thought maybe I was the only person with that, you know, closet pathological hang-up on you know,
no kidding,
any
I really
excuse to buy a radio.
A transistor I can pass up, but a tube I can't walk by.
Right. A transistor doesn't have the glamour, you know. It's one of those things.
And I think the only thing that would get me into is a scanner.
Uh-huh, scanners.
And if I could figure out how to make a vacuum tube set up on it, I'd do it.
How many of those radios of the 63 that you own and have around the house, 63, how many of them have shortwave bands?
Just bought all of them.
Really?
Except some of the earlier models. I have earlier models out of the 50s and late 40s there.
Mm-hmm.
That don't have it.
What's the oldest set that you've got? One that goes back to the early days on the farm?
I have a 33 Motorola, I believe.
33 Motorola.
I'm not sure if it was a Motorola.
Now, does that operate on batteries?
No, it runs on house current.
I see.
But it won't pick up anything. That one, I keep it stock, because the only thing it'll pick up is Radio Havana. Won't pick up WCCO or WTTC or TC. Just picks up clear as a bell.
Radio Havana.
And the only station the whole thing will pick up on any of the bands is Radio Havana.
Mm. Well, are you a radio technician to the extent that you can service your radios, fix them?
I'm amateur. I'm not professional.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I've been doing it over the years where I can troubleshoot pretty fast in them.
Now, do you have any trouble in getting some of the parts?
Never. If I don't have them, Steve's got them.
Well, actually, what's going to wear out on a radio as far as parts are concerned, I suppose?
The capacitors, the electrolytics are about the things that go fast.
Dry out and so forth. But those are standard. You can replace those.
Yeah. There should be some advice there. Is it true that you're supposed to turn those things on every once in a while and keep those electrolytics wet?
Is that... I really wouldn't know on that.
Yeah, well, I've heard that from other people. If you got some old radios around the house, turn them on and listen to them. That limbers up the old chemistry.
They do dry out, I know. Yeah. That's what I've been told.
Just like any person, any human being, you know.
I don't know if people are going to understand what we're talking about. I don't know if this gentleman does, but maybe he does. It is possible to suddenly become infatuated with a radio that you have never met. It's like a woman.
Uh-huh.
Remember, there's a woman who has a shop, I won't say where, it's in North Minneapolis, and she doesn't sell radios. Mainly she sells typewriters, and very, very fine typewriter technician. But apparently in years past she has sold Grundigs, and I was in there a number of years ago and bought a typewriter, used one. And she had this magnificent, huge, plastic-paneled Grundig, German-made radio, and it had, you know, all the bands. And although it was a contemporary radio, I would assume that it was transistor, it had that old 1940 massive look of the German style. And it was kind of intriguing. I thought, boy, I'd kind of like to sit down for a couple of hours with that radio.
Those are good. That might be one of the later tube models there.
Could be.
Excellent radios.
Could be.
Boy, they're wonderful.
Anything else, sir?
No, I just thought I'd pass it on.
All right,
thanks. There are other people in the world like that.
All right, yes. It's kind of nice to know that you are not alone.
If people out in the audience have old radios, I would recommend plug them in, turn them on, see if they work, and, exercise them.
Exercise them. All right, sir, thank you very much for calling. We have somebody waiting on line three. We're going to take that call in just a bit. Right now, let's see, what else do we have coming up next, Kim?
This is Switzerland coming up. It's a little longer, 3 minutes. We can
3 minutes?
See how much we want to listen to.
Yeah, we might not get the whole three. What sort of programming?
It begins with a Swiss music box and the opening and some of their talk, some interesting sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
Typical Western Europe International radio.
Radio Switzerland. No, that's not Switzerland. What happened? That's Radio Havana coming in again. Yeah, do you have, what else do we have here?
Okay, let's try that one.
This one here.
That'll do it.
That will do it.
That's okay. All right. We'll get this thing together.
Okay.
That was my mistake. That was not Bob's fault. That was my
This
fault.
Should be Radio Switzerland. Yeah.
Swiss Broadcasting Corporation. Here is a Swiss chronometer to give you the exact time. At the final tone, it will be 1:45 Greenwich Mean Time. This is Switzerland. We're broadcasting to North and Central America on 6.135, 9.72. Here's a look at the week's events in Switzerland, written by Jack Chisholm of our news service. Two groups of people were particularly interested in what was happening in Switzerland this week, and they could hardly have been further apart from each other, representing the two worlds of international finance and international sport. The financiers were watching the performance of the Swiss franc against the United States dollar, while the sports fans were hoping for world records at an athletics meeting being held in Zurich. Time for TalkBack.
SBC's Listeners Forum.
Questions on Switzerland?
Comments on SBC.
We start at one of Switzerland's most unusual museums.
And we end at one of Switzerland's most unusual museums.
It sounds like a short program.
There's a lot in between. Barbara, why is there no labor unrest in Switzerland?
Yes, that's the one from Neville Godwin of Te Tahi Bay in New Zealand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Neville, labor relations in Switzerland are very good, although recent times of recession and economic uncertainty have led to a certain amount of friction between workers and employers in some industrial sectors.
Chris Dixon went along to see Beat Kappeler, who is General Secretary of the Swiss Federation of Trade Unions. Bert Kappeler tells Chris that the main reason for industrial peace in this country is that union structures and bargaining procedures are different from those in other countries.
The more important general decisions and collective bargaining is done centrally by the leaders of the trade union.
There's an example of the type of talk, the type of political, social, cultural items that they get into in the talk portions of these broadcasts. You hear a little sound off the side, some strange distorted noises. That's what we call adjacent channel interference. Mm-hmm. About 5 kilohertz, just a little bit to the left of the dial, there's a Radio Moscow transmitter mm-hmm. on 11720. And that's the kind of interference you get when stations are close together like they are in shortwave.
All right, we have a gentleman waiting here on line 3. Let's acknowledge him. We'll probably hold him past the 10:30 news. Incidentally, we now have some lines available for you at 333-2363. Our guest, in case you've just joined us, Kim Elliott, our subject, shortwave radio. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes, sir.
I'm a ham radio operator, and I've been listening to the program for, I guess, about an hour, and quite interested, and I'd like to make a comment to Kim, I guess. And one other thing, I've been a ham for about, I guess, 19 years, and there's becoming a real resurgence of interest, I guess, in the general shortwave listening among the ham radio operators, primarily because of propagation characteristics that gives you a good indication of the countries that are available to work DX on. And I don't know if you went into this earlier in the program, but we're in the 11-year cycle on the sunspot.
No, that was not mentioned. You want to explain how that works?
Well, basically, we go through a period of time, basically every 11 years, where we go through a peak in the sunspot cycle, and we're right now approaching, we're about 3 years away from a peak in the sunspot cycle, and the conditions have improved drastically, particularly on the 10-meter and 15-meter
band. I was just going to say that with that 11-year sunspot cycle hitting its peak, it usually has a direct and immediate, very, very obvious effect on your higher frequencies. You mentioned the 10-meter band. That would be approximately the 30 megahertz band, as we refer to it.
Correct.
And it's a daytime band. It's a high-frequency daytime band, and that means it's safe for amateur radio operators or citizens band people. It's not at all uncommon during the sunspot cycle for them to hear stations coming in, say, from the west coast to the east coast or Florida. Fine during the day, again, totally dead at night.
Yeah, CB will be utter bedlam in a few years when the sunspot cycle hits a peak. It'll be easier for a CB operator to talk to Arizona than it will be a mile and a half away.
Won't be anywhere legal, but they'll do it.
It's probably even worse than that. The conditions right now on 10 meters during the daytime, you can run relatively low power, and by a ham standard, low power is probably 100 to 200 watts, but literally you can run 1 or 2 watts and work the world. And I can remember when I first became a ham radio operator back in about 1959, 1960, it was feasible at that time to run, say, 30 or 40 watts of AM, back in the AM days anyway, and literally work the world with signals that were 30 to 40 dB over S9, and very, very common from the European
areas. Those days. Well, I'm going to put you on hold, sir, if you want to make some further comments. We'll be back in just about 5 minutes right now. I hear that theme coming up. Kim Elliott is here. My name is Bob Allard. We have some open lines for you at 333-2363. More shortwave radio samples coming up in the half hour ahead.